We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I mean, maybe in OTAs, you know, I mean, that's part of what we're doing and maybe to now, but, you know, I know it was alluded to earlier. I mean, at some point, you know, everyone thinks you have a lot of time left, but this clock starts ticking real quick in terms of the season and getting guys that have to play. So you have to, you know, rookie mistakes all cute, but at some point you got to be ready to perform for us on Sunday. So that window, if it isn't closed yet, it's closing pretty rapidly. So
I don't think we're close to anything right now, to be honest with you. So again, we're keep rolling groups and keep rolling positions until you know, it's really up to them. I mean, until someone grabs a hold of it and says this is my spot and I'm not letting it go, and I'm showing you day in and day out consistently that I'm gonna perform at the level you guys want us to perform at, then I'll say, okay, that's your job and let's go. But until that happens, we're going to keep mixing and matching and find out who can handle that adversity and handle those adjustments.
Good. Time for your chance to win $1,000 at the top of the hour here on 560 WQM. It's 560 WQM's training camp, 12 a days. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word BOLD to 72881 in your registered. Bold, B-O-L-D, to 72881.
That was a bold thing. We just did that interview.
Text it right now. That was the funniest one you've done so far. Text it to 72881. Let me finish. If you don't win this time, your next chance at the top of the next hour. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. Bold, the 7 a.m. code word. Joe Rose gets extra point for that today, making me laugh like that. Good job.
You know, I've talked, you and I, we were just talking. I said, you know, I've talked to him in the locker room, spent some time with him in the off season. He's either not an early bird.
Some guys aren't.
Or phone, because it was in and out, understanding what he was saying here.
I mean, for all we know, he could have been sitting in the facility on a phone and just kind of really just getting ready for, you know, the start of whatever he has to do today.
Whatever. Yeah. It's over, and we are rolling. That was Matt Burke. You just heard Miami Dolphins defensive coordinator not real happy with what took place against Tampa Bay. And to be honest, I don't think anybody would blame him. Wasn't a good drive with the ones out there to start the game. And after they missed, the Dolphins missed a 53-yard field goal, and they just went right down the field and scored. So they were disappointed with that. And, of course, Tampa Bay ended up 37-47, 326 yards, only one sack. It was just bad. It was bad at the back end. It was bad at the front end. Tackling by the linebackers, getting off blocks. It was just, I mean, I could see it, and that's why – the only good thing to come out of this was, and I understand they're going to play a lot of effort. They want to show, or the draft picks, and Jerome Baker, Minka Fitzpatrick, really got after it. So that was something good that Matt Burke talked about, and I think they get rewarded this week because they're going to play a lot, and they're going to find themselves moving up the ladder there a little bit and playing. First of all, there shouldn't be too many guys on this team taking it easy in the first game, because honestly, none of them have done that much in this league. So there should have been, you know, and some of it's going to be experience for some of these guys, but they got to play a lot better. So we'll see what happens this week with Matt Burke also sending a message yesterday to Gabe Wright, as in, we're going to release you after, I guess, they had a few fights at practice yesterday, and Gabe Wright apparently hit Kenyon Drake with an elbow. Everybody said a cheap shot, which, by the way, I mean, you just don't do that. It's one thing, two guys are looking at each other, grab the face mask, throw a couple of punches, but an elbow to the back of the head.
Yeah. There's no need for that. There really isn't. I can understand. You know what? This was, to me, with Adam Gase so far in the couple years he's been here, he's not really known for being that subtle. Like, if something is bothering him or whatever, he just take, you know, we saw that with the guards a couple of years back when he just kind of cut them all after 1 week. You know, they weren't playing well. You know, you kind of see that with him. I'm all right with it. If Gabe Wright really was a pain in the rear end yesterday, or he did something stupid, you're cutting guys anyway. If he wasn't part of the plan and he did something stupid, you're out. And that's it.
That's the other part. How good is he?
Well, because he's not a starter or a second string guy, I'll tell you that. If he
was really good and did that, you'd sit him down. You might fine him if you thought, but you ain't getting rid of him.
No.
No way.
No.
You'd have 25 teams picking Gabe Wright up in a heartbeat.
That's right.
Right?
Well, you know what? That isn't that the test today or tomorrow?
Well, he'll get picked up.
Yeah, he's going to get picked up because he's a body on the team, but we'll see at that point. Yeah, but you know what? There's just no need for that in camp right now.
I get guys get heated and there's a little frustration and you're in a couple weeks here and you're getting ready to leave town here and get ready for the second preseason game and got a little chippy again yesterday, but you still don't cheap shot guys in the back of the head. If that's the case, and the better the player, you definitely don't do that.
Yeah, if this was anyone that had a real shot, or not even a shot, but a spot on this team, nah, it's not going to happen. I wanted to ask you, too, because we talked about the pass coverage, we talked about the pass rush. This Friday, I guess we're going to see the debut of that new kind of defense with Minkah at the nickel and Bobby in there, cornerback. Are you concerned that there's so much going on right now about bringing another guy in? That the news is out there that they're trying to bring another cornerback in here because they don't have the guy here or they're not happy with what's going on? Because to me, it's a little concerning. We heard about guys stepping up and 2.5 weeks into camp going into game two, they're already looking for another guy.
Yeah. Well, they're going to keep looking, and if they think they have an upgrade or can find an upgrade without breaking the bank from Tankersley, McTyre, Lippitt, I mean, this is not good for them.
No.
First of all, that Bobby McCain's got to move outside if that's the case.
Paid to be an inside guy, yes.
Now, those guys are all going to play this week and probably play a lot if they're around and still get some opportunities. But the fact is they're not messing around. They're already moving Bobby McCain outside. If that came up in meetings and you haven't gotten your second preseason game, that just tells you, like, coverage too loose. Not, you know, guys don't have the confidence. They're not playing their technique. Because they don't feel physically or mentally, or you feel like you're not coaching them. Things you're talking about, they're not doing. And they're just going, Bobby, sorry, we thought you were going to be able to play slot, but we're going to need you outside. So Bobby goes outside now, and where he played some last year when they had some injuries. And then that brings up Minkah Fitzpatrick. One of the things he did at Alabama was covering the slot. He's going to find this to be a little different animal, though.
Oh, yeah.
Covering NFL slot receivers.
Yeah, a lot different.
Going to be a little different than what he did at Alabama. But they just feel like his upside, and if they have to do that. And you know what that allows? That allows Minkah Fitzpatrick, T.J. McDonald, Rashad Jones to play together.
That's kind of exciting to me.
We're trying to figure about the safeties. And
yeah.
I keep thinking about Adam Gase, so we're going to play the best 11 guys. So
that's
stop
it.
Looking at, well, he's a pure this or he's a pure that. We're going to play the best guys. And I think maybe the best story's been we didn't say one thing about Jerome Baker for a week and a half. Never mentioned the guy's name. You know, he was learning everything. He gets out there and he's running around out in open space, running at a gear that his teammates aren't running at, making plays. And, you know, those coaches come back to meeting and they see this on tape. And, you know, he played Ohio State, played in a good program.
Played in a big program.
So they're like, all right. Move him up.
I'm okay. That's what we want to see. We want to see
that.
They're
tired about hearing about guys with potential and former first-round picks, and he's really athletic, and, you know, he should do this and he should do that. Stephon Anthony, they've been talking about it. They haven't seen it.
No.
Like, I get that Stephon's big and fast, but, you know, he's been around now long enough. He should know things. And he hadn't done enough that his ass ought to be running like he's a rookie. And if it's not, you got Jerome Baker.
Put him in.
Let him play.
That's it.
I don't know how much he's going to play anyway when you're a nickel all the time anyway. And we'll be dime soon where we'll probably be with one linebacker. And that will take your middle linebacker and one of your outside linebackers out of the game. But
best 11, Joe. I like that. I think that's the motto at this
point.
We're
going to find our best 11 guys.
That's it.
And play them a lot and get some backups. But, yeah, so Matt Burke didn't beat around the bush yesterday when he was talking about all the problems with the defense after that first preseason game. Just not real happy about it. We got all kinds of stuff going on here today that we'll be talking about, including the other story coming out. And I'm guessing people are going to be all pissed off at us, right? Yeah, anything with Urban Meyer has
Well, the Ohio State people are going to be pissed because they want this story to go away. They don't want to talk about Urban.
Well,
they can understand that.
They're in the middle of this investigation.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of this 2 weeks that they figured it would take to find out what they need to, and now all of a sudden, on top of it, a DUI Zach Smith, who really anything Zach Smith says you can never trust. He's a piece of crap.
Yes, of course. I think so, yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen with he and everybody's going to try to make his wife look bad, his ex-wife now, and everything else. But just doesn't look good for Urban Meyer.
No.
I don't know why people are like, well, why should Urban know about this guy? Well, usually, I'm guessing 99% of the time, if one of – back then it was 9 coaches. They just added a 10th coach. One of your 9 coaches or somebody on your program gets a DUI, you find out about it.
Joe,
first of all, Ohio State's got full-time security guys. That's
your job. It. If a graduate assistant gets a DUI, Joe, Urban gets word of it. Everyone gets word of it. Security gets word of it. Great text earlier this morning, by the way. We have an aggressive media here. If a Canes coach or player stubs his toe, it's in the news. The Buckeye media just looks the other way. It sure looks like it. Because how did you not find out about this stuff? I'm not saying the media is looking the other way. I will say this.
The knock has been on college towns.
Small college towns like that in Columbus, Ohio.
The college police, it's been around forever.
Yeah.
Florida State's been accused of it.
Of course.
Others have been accused of it through the years.
Gainesville,
and by the way,
too.
I'm not looking to stir it up here. Well, maybe a little bit. But, I mean, it's just when it does, there's always been this belief like, you know, hey, let's get this taken care of or – no reason for this to get out. But.
Call coach and let's figure this out so it doesn't get out too much. First off, that's always the first thing that happens. Hey, call this guy.
I can tell you,
call
the
coach.
Miami Herald's not doing that for University of Miami.
No. Any of those coaches on the Hurricane staff gets in trouble, a DUI or something like that, Joe, we're talking about that in the front page of the Miami Herald.
Right.
We're talking about that on all the websites down here. It's not going to be covered up. Mark Richt's not going to come out 3 weeks from now and go, oh, nobody told me about that. Baloney. That's why in a town like that, Columbus, you talk about the small college towns, everybody knows about everything.
Yeah.
And Coach Meyer, there's no way I believe he can get on the stand and swear in a Bible, and I still don't believe that he had no idea that this guy got
Zach,
a DUI.
First you're smacking your old lady around and you don't tell me.
Yeah.
And now I find out you get a DUI and you didn't tell me.
This is all news to me. Baloney, Joe. Come on.
Yeah.
And I understand you're trying to help a guy out or, oh, well, you know, it wasn't a big deal. Yeah, it was. Coach got a DUI a couple years back. Nothing happened from it. That's fine. But the same coach has been in these allegations about domestic violence, and you're also saying, oh, that thing, that's right. Oh, you know, we were handling that. This is a huge cover. Usually what happens in a situation like this is when you start peeling back the layers of that onion, you find more. And that's what's happening right now. And this guy's obviously not a good guy, this Zach Smith guy, but he was on Urban's staff. Urban knew his father or grandfather, whatever that case was.
He said that kept it from Urban. He didn't want him to know and thought he could get this thing worked out.
Kept it from Urban. Okay.
Apparently one of the writers ended up finding this here. I guess I don't know if the investigation would have found it or what they're looking for or whatever else. They're getting ready to interview everybody else around this thing. I'm sure the AD, the head coach, the wide receiver, former wide receiver coach, and the wife will all get interviewed here on this investigation.
This should
and
get
stuff.
Interesting.
So I still think Urban's going to be fine. I think Urban Meyer will maybe get a little suspension.
Well, his statement helped him. Came out and blamed everyone else but himself. I told who I had to tell the athletic director, and the president knew about this, and blah, blah. I just did everything I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
I heard about the domestic violence. I let the people that I thought should know. Oh, so now you're just literally putting that athletic director on that bus and running him over, because whether he knew or not, well, you threw it out there, and they're going to believe you over the athletic director.
Well, if he did tell his athletic director,
then someone should take the blame for
this. And the AD didn't take it up further and just said, well, I'm just going to let it go for now. Then, in fairness to Urban, he did his job. And even if Urban told the AD, hey, if it's all right, I'd like to keep him, the AD is still his boss and has to say, no, he's got to go. And if something like that, I don't blame Urban. I mean, you're the AD. You're the boss. I know people say the college coaches like Nick Saban and Urban Meyer are the most powerful guys at their school because the amount of money they generate and the popularity of college football. But, you know, AD's got to do his job. It will be interesting. A lot of colleges are going to be sitting back trying to figure out what's going to happen with this one. But, again, I still think Urban Meyer is going to be fine.
So do I now. I thought he wouldn't last the first weekend after these allegations, and now I don't think he's getting fired at all. He might miss a game or two, and that's it.
We'll see how it all plays out this time. But this one came out yesterday, and everybody's going to be talking about that a little bit as maybe more stuff comes out and everything else. Because the other thing that I think of is lack of institutional control.
Sure looks like it.
They all, that's it, right? That's a go-to probation line. Lack of institutional control.
That's
like,
right.
Like not babysitting your program. By the way, for a guy named Urban Meyer, who's a real hands-on guy, who remember got burned out because he did everything himself. He was wanted to be involved in everything and admitted that with Florida, he didn't do a very good job of delegating things out to other guys. So I don't know if he's gotten better with it.
Doesn't look like
it. I do know one thing. He got a hell of a football team. And so
easy to recruit that machine right now, Ohio State. You're a top three or four team every year for the last 5 or 6 years. Very easy to walk in.
I think Urban's done a good job of building up relationships. There's a good article that I saw that Urban is good friends with George Smith at St. Thomas Aquinas. And that you know, when you have key programs like they have a good relationship, and he's been able through the years to get some really good players out of them.
Didn't the Bosa brothers both go there?
Yeah, but the uncle, Eric Kummerle, was a first-round pick out of Ohio State too. His brother. And, of course, John Boza also and Eric Kummerle, both first-round picks with the Miami Dolphins. But, yeah, that probably didn't hurt that, you know, George is – and, listen, George sits over there, and he can let guys in that he likes, and guys he doesn't, he can make them wait. I'm not saying – I think George lets everybody in, but
– let's face it, he's a power broker.
But he can – no, but – he's got certain guys he likes.
Got really good players on that team. All the coaches want to come there, Joe.
But if he doesn't have a relationship or he doesn't like you, you rubbed him the wrong way, you might be waiting a little bit.
Yeah.
You might be waiting in that thing. I've heard stories, it probably goes on at 4 or 5 of our high schools down here, where some of these coaches are 7 or 8 deep, come in the same time, and how'd you like
choose
to be that guy in the back, and then all of a sudden somebody else comes in and you let him come right to the front.
Just walk around that guy. Come here.
And wait. Yeah. And you're the guy at the end, has no relationship with him, going, oh, man.
Oh, man, I'm screwed. Is that Urban Meyer that just walked past me?
This is going to be a long day.
Is that Nick Saban that just walked past me?
This could end up
coach,
being a real,
I'm still,
real
I'm still here
day.
Waiting, Coach. Oh, 10 more minutes? Okay, thanks.
We got all kinds of stuff going on here. Tiger ratings were out from CBS yesterday, and man, they were monsters. Monster ratings. Nobody in the history of sports ever is moving the way this guy and what he does for a dying sport like golf.
Only dying when he's not good.
But when he's back, the only thing is they wish he was 32 instead of 42.
Correct.
Anyway, we got to go to break. We'll have a lot more coming up. Stay with us.
Radio.com. I think even saying Malik's the guy helps Malik be the guy. That's another reason. You know, you want the leadership in the summer. You want the leadership going into that game. You don't want everybody to go, who's going to be the guy? Or everybody having all these opinions. And I don't care. I mean, I want y'all to have whatever opinions you want, but even on the team, I think it should be this guy. I think it should be that guy. I mean, everybody knows it's Malik. Everybody agrees it's Malik. And that I think that's healthy for him to be a leader. And I think it's healthy for the team to know who's leading the way on offense right now. When Michael got hurt, Brevin became the number one. He's getting a lot of work with the number ones at the F, what we call the F position, where Herndon was last year. Mallory's more where Njoku was when I was using both of them at the same time. They're talented guys that are learning fast and competing hard and making – they'll be making plays from time to time where you'll be like, they're going to be pretty darn good, you know. But, again, they're – like, for example, they're still not physically as strong as they're going to be one day. They're freshmen strong, which is not strong enough sometimes, you know, at the point of attack when we're talking about blocking.
Rick, media day yesterday, and that was pretty cool. Good stuff to hear about Malik Rozier making it real clear to everybody. And I do agree, you want everybody on the team. You don't want the guy sitting in their locker going, why the hell is he starting? Why are they going with him? And then those two freshmen. I know everybody's trying to downplay it a little bit. Everybody that's seen him said the talent on those two is just ridiculous. And, of course, they're going to get a lot better. Hell, they just finished high school. They haven't played one college game. I know there's going to be, you know, some learning stuff. They're 18, 19 years old. But the upside, once they get this thing figured out.
Huge, huge.
And by the way, both guys have said, yeah, we kind of came in here to play right away. It didn't matter how long those other guys been here. When we decided to come and come together, that was pretty cool because they knew and they were told that there's a good chance you guys are going to be playing together because you're so good as receivers. We don't lose anything.
Herndon in Njoku's positions? I mean, that's nice right there.
Not bad. What,
no.
First and third round picks?
Yeah. I mean, I would take it right there. Listen, this is good
after
for Malik.
After a bad knee, who knows? Who knows if Herndon doesn't go higher if he didn't have the knee problem and get injured?
By the way, read the stuff out of Jets camp, how happy they are with him up there.
That's a good get.
Yeah,
man.
No, it's a great get. Fourth round pick, is that what he was? Yeah, like a late
round. Fourth round pick.
Fourth round pick, yeah. So, this is good for Coach Richt to have those guys out there. It's no offense to Michael Irvin Jr. I mean, I'm sure he was good out there too, but you get to get your guys out there thrown right into the fire. And, you know, I'm worried always with a young guy going into a big game like LSU to start the season like we saw with Louisville a couple years back. The difference is it's not a quarterback. If it's other younger guys, I'm not really worried as much. I was worried with Kaya going in there to see what was going to happen in that game years ago. I think the easy choice for Mark Richt is the fact that Rozier just stepped up and was the guy. You know, and he didn't have to worry about putting Nikosi in there or any of the freshmen or Weldon or any of those guys. Malik's our guy.
Nobody was close. Nobody pushed him during the spring.
Well, it's obvious. Otherwise, we would have a quarterback controversy.
And he hasn't been pushed so far with all the things they're doing and picking things up. And so you're right. You're much better off having Malik Rozier. And then it's up to Malik to keep the job and play well.
Well, that's the question,
that's
right?
The second part.
Yeah.
And if he plays well, then I think it kicks off for him to have a really good season. If he struggles, then they start looking at those young quarterbacks.
You got three games to find your quarterback at that point.
Before you get into
your ACC and your tougher. And there's no offense to FIU or any of those teams, but you're starting off with LSU, and then you sort of had three games to figure everything out before you get into, like you said, Florida State and that ACC schedule.
Well, this LSU game will be huge because you don't want to. You know, they're going to be favored. LSU's got a good team. Everybody knows they've got good talent. I'm not saying they're Georgia, and I'm not saying they're not Alabama or anybody else, but they've got talent to play with anybody, so we'll see. They got a brand-new quarterback, most likely, that's going to play, a transfer coming in. Anyway, it's going to be fun, man. Start of college football. There's a serious buzz about the University of Miami that is going to be fun. A lot of it has to do with this freshman class. A lot of it has to do with coming back with what they're able to do a year ago, even though they didn't finish strong, and getting off to a good start September 2nd in Dallas, which a lot of people, some people, I met some guys the other day, they're going to the game, and I'm guessing a lot of Canes fans will go to that game, and that's a fun one to get going. The other one is the Tiger ratings were out, and you had to know if you watched that at all. Whether you're – listen, he was unbelievable. He shoots a 64, finishes second, ends up losing to Brooks Koepka. But the ratings were up 69%.
Wow.
From a Sunday a year ago. It was the highest-rated Sunday since 2009. Just unbelievable numbers. You start talking about 69%. The ratings are up in a major. Again, millions and millions of more viewers watched that, especially at the peak where it went in the eights at the end. Just incredible ratings for we haven't seen since Tiger was peaked before.
I was about to say.
And had a role before all his problems.
But, Joe, it goes back to this, and it's funny. This is I use this sometimes. In the Howard Stern movie years ago, they used to say a lot of people listened to his show because of how much they hated him. And more people listened because of how much they hated him, and a lot of people listened because they liked him too. I think it's the same way with Tiger. I think when he's in contention at the end, you're kind of watching to see if he's going to fall, and the Tiger fans can't wait to see if this is the comeback, if this is the one where he wins it and turns everything around. He is the most polarizing figure we've seen in golf, maybe ever. It's possible it's ever. Because, I mean, I know that Jack and back in the day with Arnold, and those are the two, you know, the other two guys at the top of that list. But how many guys move the needle like Tiger does, where people love golf, hate golf, what he's done for golf in the last 20 years? I mean, you always say this, and I always reference it too. Look at the prize purse. Look what he's done to that prize purse over the last 20 years. You got guys in 10th spot making $480,000 on a weekend. That never happened before.
Yeah, the money's taken.
It's ridiculous.
I don't think Tiger's the greatest golfer of all time. I think that still belongs to Jack, but what he's done
it's for unbelievable.
This sport, even with all those really good young players that they have, that everybody talks about, the five or six guys that are all good friends and do a lot of things together and all that stuff.
But you can't market them like you can market Tiger.
No, whatever it is, he's got it. And a lot of it has to do with all the winning that he's done, starting when he was a young guy and dominated that sport for a long time, now 42. But, my God, the numbers, when he has played well at the British Open and at the PGA Championship, numbers just exploded. Three of the biggest five markets, Fort Myers, which is a small market, Palm Beach and Tampa Bay St. Pete also.
Yep. Little surprise.
Had a huge number. Well, ton of golf.
Not Tampa
courses.
Bay. I'm saying just in general. Those are pretty small markets, but they're very big golf markets.
Yeah, it's just for percentages of people that for the ratings in those. Fort Myers is a real small market. But for a sport that, till this year, has declined in golf courses are closing at a rapid pace around the United States. And the second thing is equipment. You even got Nike getting out. Some of these people are getting out of the equipment business. And here they are with Tiger, hoping he can play. I mean, he's still got the same problem once Tiger is done. He's not going to play forever. And his back problem, it's hard to believe that they're not all of a sudden after three back operations, like he's going to have a great back the rest of his life. Those things don't just disappear.
Would you say Tiger was 42?
42 years old.
Hmm.
And but anyway, that was a big win for CBS, and I'm sure they were jacked up when those ratings came out. And you've got sponsors paying a lot of money, and for the future when he's playing, you can get a lot of money for that. I'm sure they're jacked up to get him back in a Masters and hopefully playing the way he's played in the past there. That could be a big win for them. But, man, just crazy. 69%
moves the needle, Joe,
from a year ago on a Sunday.
Yep.
The numbers Saturday were crazy as well. But anyway, that was a huge story that was coming out. The craziest story yesterday is what happened to a guy we used to have on in the show, Bruce Bowen, TV analyst, used to play for the Miami Heat, had a lot of his great years with San Antonio, where his number is now retired. Now a TV analyst, or was, for the L.A. Clippers, and had some critical comments. I don't know if everybody remember. I want to say a month or two ago, about Kawhi Leonard. Nothing but excuses defending San Antonio and saying he was a baby and, you know, and stop it, you know. And he got after Kawhi pretty good. Well, now the Clippers realize that and believe that Kawhi Leonard wants to come back to L.A. and play. So the Clippers think they have a chance, even though right now he's with Toronto. His contract's up after this year. So they wanted to get rid of anything that might hurt them from having a chance to get him. So they let Bruce Bowen go as a TV analyst for the Clippers.
Lost his job. Very interesting.
You just never see anything like this.
No, it's crazy.
I've seen get rid of other players that are like, hey, this guy we really want doesn't like you, you're out. We're trading you.
Yeah, we get for nothing.
No, he doesn't like you as a coach, you're gone. You're out. We got a chance to get him. You've seen that stuff happen, right?
Of course,
you've seen front office guys go. But a friggin' announcer?
Yeah, it's weird. Especially a guy, the former player like that.
An analyst?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's not weird. It's pathetic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm really – I don't know about you guys, but I'm really sick of Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I think we all are. I would agree with that. Where did that come from, man? That guy would never said a word, was just a great player. Never said a word. Unbelievable.
Well, if the San Antonio staff kind of screwed with him, you got to understand that why he's upset with them and wanted out. Like, I understand the story might be getting old, and we talk about it a lot, but if something happened with the medical staff or whatever it was, and Pop was agreeing with them and not with their star player, I can understand why he thought it was a negative energy there and he wanted out of there. But the story just took on a whole life by itself, though. That's the problem.
Well, the medical started with the medical. I understand. This didn't just randomly happen. You understand that, Hollywood, that if the medical field for anybody that's ever played sports and gone through it where your doctors are going against you, it sucks. It sucks. And
Coach, I think he could play. I don't know why he's not playing.
I had a doctor do that to me. Yeah. He's no longer alive, so I'm not going to rip him.
No, don't do it.
He went to Coach and, like, you know, Coach is listening to his doctors. That's what they do.
He said that you were okay to play or you needed this or needed
that. Yeah, and so, you know, and you're going through this and you're thinking, so, and then the thing that I had a problem with, especially Parker coming out and saying I had that same injury and mine was a lot worse and I was able to come back faster.
Yeah, it's petty.
That was a bitch move.
That's a petty move, man.
Like, throwing a young guy who you need, by the way, if you're going to win, and you basically you ran him out. Now, a lot of guys get over that and come back, and you get past that.
Not Kawhi.
Kawhi Leonard shut down and
said,
I'm done. This ain't working. Let's just get – I got a year left, but last thing I want to do is come back and play the couple of guys. Now, Parker's end up getting a contract somewhere else.
Yep.
But Ginobili –
Charlotte, I believe, yeah.
I think Ginobili took some shots at him. I think he's back another year. And they said, that's it. That's just not going to cut it. Anyway, we got a lot of other stuff going on. We're live here at Dolphins training camp. We'll have some more news for you coming up here as the Dolphins going to close it up. This is the last day of camp, which means I guess the players can move out today after practice.
Look at that.
Out of the old hotel, back home. Back home with Mama after this.
Our training camp broadcast sponsored by H&H Jewels and Coconut Grove. Visit them to experience the H&H difference or discover them at hhjewels.com by Mental Law Firm. 100% dedicated to your financial recovery. Fighting the insurance company is worth it. And by Lexus of North Miami, always an amazing deal.
Radio.com. And now, it's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Hollywood. A lot of good stuff going on here today, man. What do you got for us?
All right, Joe, we're going to start it off with another incident on social media here. This time it's Antonio Brown getting into it with Ed Bouchette, who writes for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Ed Strong in football, man. He's also a Hall of Fame voter.
That's right.
So he tweeted yesterday during camp, Antonio Brown limps off practice after some early individual work. Right, pretty harmless tweets. He's Antonio Brown injured. Well, after practice, Antonio Brown took to Twitter and said, bro, seriously, have some respect, you making bleep up clown.
Wow. I can tell
there you go.
That'll be an interesting one because he has been right there. He is the NFL in Pittsburgh. He's it. I don't know about a lot of markets, but I know what he is in Pittsburgh.
Yep, wow.
And that's an interesting one. Boy, there's a lot of bad blood. What happened in Jacksonville?
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad blood right now between writers. I've never seen it this bad.
Yep.
And football players.
Social media. That's why. Guys are watching and looking all over social media.
Armando wrote something about Devontae.
Devontae answered him back.
Well, what was
just
it?
Just smiley face emojis, kind of laughing at his article.
Oh, laughing at his article.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't quite get what they all mean when I'm like, so I have to ask my kids, like, what's that mean?
I translate emoji for you. It's okay.
Like, I don't always quite get the social media. But, yeah, like, so the writers now, and listen, in the old days, writers just wrote. The columnist gave his opinion, but the writers wrote what they saw. That was it.
Yep.
So there are no problems, really.
Mm-mm. Not
I mean,
now.
They had a few little ones, but usually it was with the columnists. Plus, we just didn't have all the coverage like they do today. But now these guys send up here and give their opinion.
Of course, and tweet it out, too, not just the stories in the paper.
And the guys that seem to affect people the most are Armando and Omar. And Omar. Omar is stirred up. Now, Omar's, you know, doesn't back down. And
Omar's pissed off half dozen of these Dolphin players minimum.
So these guys, and they go back and forth. Which my new thing is to tell the players when I see them is like, if he's getting to you, man, then you shouldn't follow him.
I agree. I don't even know if some of these guys follow him.
And same for your girlfriend or wife, if they're following, or your mother.
Or your buddy or
just
something.
Tell them all, hey, Mom. Love you to death. I know you want to know what's going on. I got certain guys that like me, certain guys I don't. I'm doing the best I can. But the last thing you want is a football player down on the field worried about what a writer is saying about him.
Yeah. Antonio Brown was interesting from yesterday.
Now, you're going to know if they write articles. You're going to know what they say.
Of course.
And by the way, if it's good, makes you feel good. Uh-huh. Don't get me wrong. But somebody writes a nice article. What a great story this guy's been. You know, let's face it. We all like getting stroked. Right? Doesn't matter if you're a football player or a big fat guy up here. It doesn't matter. We like being, you know, everybody likes it a little bit. But, man, that stuff's getting to these guys like never before. Like, why would Antonio Brown get so upset about that?
I don't know. Weird. Because he said he was limping off the field.
Well, that means he saw him limping.
Yeah. Not according to Antonio.
But I don't know why Antonio would care so much whether he's limping or not. They just want him ready to go for the regular season.
Set him out the rest of the
preseason. That's it.
Yep.
Especially for all the fantasy football people, because that's a top five pick, man.
Woo, top six, top seven, yeah, no matter what.
That's one of your top picks.
Very important.
And ready to go as soon as we get going on all this fantasy football stuff. So, yeah, it's been amazing. I got a little carried away. I'm sorry, Hollywood. I almost forgot about you.
No, that's fine, Joe, and I do appreciate that. We'll go to Denver here for our next story. And the 26th pick of the 2016 draft, Paxton Lynch. Remember him, quarterback out of Memphis?
Yeah.
Well, fans have had just about enough of Paxton as they started a GoFundMe yesterday to try to raise enough money to buy out the rest of his contract and get him out of Denver. Some idiot started a GoFundMe page to try to raise $600,000, and even more idiots actually donated money to this guy.
Wow.
The account has since been shut down because you can't basically raise money for yourself doing something like that.
That's kind of a whatever. I mean, I get that their fans are not happy that he's a first-round pick.
Fans want to buy out the contract, Joe? That's funny.
Yeah, but I get it. Look, people aren't fired up about Osweiler.
No, you're right.
Osweiler had three balls knocked down, and the more the coach comes out, I want to see how he's going to be used. You want to know what I want to know about this Friday night? I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Osweiler, because to me, David Fales is clearly ahead of Osweiler right now. And I want to know if Petty's going to move ahead of Osweiler, or is the relationship between the two guys, because they were together in Denver, what's going to happen there? That's what I wanted.
Interesting to see, yes, that backup quarterback job.
All right, guys, James Harden has been named in a police report here filed by a woman who claims she was roughed up by the NBA star at a Scottsdale nightclub. Harden and a member of his entourage got involved in a fight. James Harden noticed that a woman was recording the fight, and according to her, he grabbed her wrist, snatched the phone, and threw it onto the roof of the building so she couldn't sell the footage to TMZ.
Oh, man. So, I don't know what to say. What'd they end up giving her? Like $500? One guy gave her a couple, and then James Harden came back out, threw her three C notes. So get another, get another phone here. Yeah. Help you out.
Yeah. Just got to get yourself out of those situations. Try to.
I'm just surprised that James Harden's still in that situation. I think it's been made pretty clear over the last couple of years he likes strip clubs.
Yeah.
Which there's nothing against. There's nothing.
No.
Certain guys liked it. I play with guys who love strip clubs too. I liked them between marriages for a little while.
Say, yeah, a couple.
I did my rehab in there. That's the best place to go, man.
Best rehab?
You always get a girl to tell you she loves you in that place. You know? Feeling a little down.
How much money you got?
Not only tell you she loves you and she thinks you're special and, oh, my gosh, I can't imagine you're not with somebody right now.
You're an amazing person.
And she's naked while she's telling you that.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
one more quickie here, Joe. I just wanted to show you this one. I don't know if you saw this during the Marlins game yesterday, but Marlins first base coach Perry Hill, you see what he does to keep cool? They were out in the Atlanta Heat for a doubleheader yesterday.
Yeah, I did see that, man. Perry's a good guy. Bald head. Yeah, put some lettuce on
his head. Yeah, he puts wet lettuce inside of his batting helmet and puts on his head.
It's too bad he can't swing a bat right now. Somebody help him score some damn runs. You know, we didn't even mention Justin Porter's gone.
I know. Q said that yesterday at the end of the show to me. He's like, we went through 4 hours of the show. We didn't even mention Justin Bohr.
Big Justin Bohr's gone.
Yeah.
He's probably glad, though. He gets a chance to go play with the team that's got a chance for the playoffs. They're going to start playing a lot of young guys, man.
Yep, you're right. You're right.
I keep thinking about JT Realmuto last night at first base going, I wonder what he's thinking playing with this group of guys and maybe more young guys from the minors to come in the near future, right? Anyway, we got the 8 o'clock hour coming up, man. We're flying here. Practice, looks like the weather, we're good today, so they're not going to fly inside on us. We'll be able to watch a little practice out here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.